Take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to find verse number 14 and 15. To our guests, we're glad that you're here. Now, we take the preaching time extremely seriously, and so we only step out if there's an urgent matter, and obviously we understand an emergency. But if you do step out, we want you to step out as quietly and uneventfully as possible. And then the preaching of the Word of God takes a prominent position here at this church. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And as is our way, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God? We do that out of respect to the Word of God. It also gives you just a little break in setting. So in case the sermon goes into 2 or 3 hours long, you've had a little break right before it. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." If you'll look back at me, today I'll take what I suppose could be an extremely complicated piece of the Bible, and I would like to uncomplicate it for us. I don't think God ever intended for something to be out of our mental grasp or our reach. But if you'll listen today, I want to give you something. I hope you enjoy this as much as I enjoyed studying it and preparing for it. I got to thinking about my God. And how God's way up there in heaven, and he's got an armor about him. Nobody can do anything to him. And then I got to thinking, well, if that's the case, how can he understand me down here with no armor? And I hope today I can show you how our God, I call the sermon, "He took his armor off for you." He took his armor off for you. And let's pray. Father, I need you to control my mind. I'm excited. I'm excited about the truth. I'm excited about the visitors. But Father, I need so much for you to help my mind to stay on the sermon that you've prepared for us today. May the interruptions be minimal, and might we leave here today grasping what a great God you are and how you can care about lowly people like us. Bless us with thy presence, please. Spirit of God, might this not just be another church service, but might it be an eternal, supernatural church service, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Give me a moment as I get us to where we need to be to understand the truth. If you listened a moment ago, it said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That high priest would be Jesus. And it's telling us that Jesus is touched with those things that touch us or hurt us or that we go through. I want to read another passage of Scripture to you, if I could. In Isaiah chapter 59, you don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read to you from verse 16 and 17. It says, "And he saw that there was no man, wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak." That is a description of God. God has on armor. You know, let's face it, we all know God, we sing the song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." Well, God's big and he's strong, and nobody can hurt God. And I'm glad of that. I'm really glad of that. But did you know in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. The Bible just taught us in the book of Isaiah, God has armor. I happen to believe the armor you and I are to put on that's in Ephesians is the armor of God. It's not just armor God created for you and I. He's offering us his armor. And that's to protect us. But God has on armor. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Listen, if you will. In order to be a Savior, Jesus had to be divine or divinely virgin born. He also had to be a man. They called him the God-man. He was both at the same time. You say, I don't understand that. I'm not sure I understand it either. That's how great God is. If you could understand everything about God, he'd be a pretty puny God. But he's bigger than that. He just said he'd be the God-man. He was like us in every respect except for being sinful. In 1 Timothy 2:5 it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus had to be made like us in order to be the faithful high priest of God. And Jesus was born under the law that he might redeem us from the law, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. When the Bible talks about Jesus, he's given human names. In Matthew 1:21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's a human name. In 1 Timothy 2:5, Jesus is distinctly called a man. The phrases, the Son of Man, that occurs in the Bible 77 times. Now, for Jesus to be human, he must have a human parent, and so we know the story of Mary. Now, he didn't have a human father. Joseph was Mary's husband, but Joseph was not the dad of Jesus. You say, well, who was Jesus' dad? That was God. That was God. That's what made him the God-man. God-dad, man-mom. I'm not talking about burly bearded woman here. I'm talking about of mankind, all right? Jesus had a human body. In John 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's a reference to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. And Jesus was subject to some of the same laws and some of the same human development that you and I are subject to. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, that Jesus grew. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 46, that Jesus asked questions. It said in Luke chapter 2, verse 42, that Jesus increased in wisdom. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8, that Jesus learned obedience. He is never disobedient, but he grew in obedience. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 10, it says he suffered. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 3, he went to work as a young man with his, if you will, stepdad, Joseph, in a carpenter shop, and he actually learned a trade. And it is said in Mark 6, 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Notice it didn't say of Joseph, but the son of Mary. Who is that? That's Jesus. So Jesus was man, but Jesus was God, all wrapped up into one. You say, that doesn't make sense to me. An Oreo cookie has two parts. I like both parts, and they're both important. And you don't have a whole Oreo unless you got both parts. You come here, I'll exegete the Old Testament Hebrew scripture to you in such a way that you'll understand it. Now, all that's important, you see. Every bit of that's important. There's the God aspect and the human aspect, and that's a big deal to me. Now, I got to tell you something. I would have a hard time believing that a non-human could truly understand a human and what a human goes through. Let me tell you a little illustration that I was reminded of. When I was in high school, now my father is he's a big man. He was a fighter growing up, and he boxed heavyweight boxer and sparred with Golden Gloves champion for the state of Ohio. And my dad was a fighter, and so when we were young, we put on boxing gloves. And I can remember I was with a boxing coach once, and he was talking to me about, you know, jabbing and punching, and I was jabbing and punching, and the coach had a mouthpiece in to guard his teeth. You ever seen him, football players wear him? He had a mouthpiece in to guard his teeth. He had a helmet on, and it kind of covers the ears and the temple area, and then he had some pads on to cover the midsection. And I was to be punching and jabbing and everything, and he'd take a shot at me every once in a while, and he's getting on me. He said, come on, hit me like you mean it. And I said, look, man, you got a mouthpiece in, you got a head guard on, you got your pads on the side. I said, do you understand what I'm going through? He said, okay. So he took his mouthpiece out. He took his head guard out and he took his pads off. And he said, okay, now let's do it. Now, I have to tell you something. That meant something to me. Because it was easy for him to tell me what he was going to do for me, but I don't think he understood when he had all that protection. He wasn't getting it. Yeah, sure, talk to me about how it's done when you got a mouthpiece in and a head guard on and your midsection's all covered. Sure, tell me how it's done. But you know what? When he came down to where I was, where there was no mouth guard, there was no head protection, there wasn't anything protecting his kidney area and everything, suddenly I felt like, now you understand what it's like to get hit. And I tore into it. I enjoyed that for a minute because I thought, this is great. This is great. You know something about God? I would have a hard time believing that the great God of the universe who said to me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest, that's reference to Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What that's saying is God said, I understand you, human. I know what you're going through. Now, if I heard that verse, I would have a real hard time thinking about a God who was God. And as we read in Isaiah, the Bible says he has on an armor. Nobody's going to attack God and defeat God. That's why I like being on God's side. I'm on the winning side. But look, you can't attack God and do anything to God. But wait, when that same God that's got that armor on looks down to me and says, Jeff Owens, don't worry, I got your back. I understand how you feel, and I have compassion on you, and I understand your feelings. Part of me wants to look back up to him and say, man, you got that mouthpiece in, you got that head guard on, you got pads around your kidneys. How can you understand me when you're the pie in the sky God that nobody can touch? Wait, God sent Jesus to this earth, and God said, I'm coming down, I'm taking off the pads. I'm coming down, I'm taking off the armor. And I got to tell you, when I was studying and preparing for this, my heart thrilled when what I read grabbed a hold of my heart. You ever wondered, that great, big, powerful God up there, how can he tell us he understands that's one of the reasons Jesus was God come in the flesh? And then I looked at this. I looked at the words, and that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word touch there actually means God made it so that you could break through his armor, or the armor was removed. That's where I get the title of my sermon, He Took Off His Armor for You. You say, why? You see, it was part of God's great plan. Whatever it is you go through, you can look to God. And it's not this God that's unreachable out there in the universe that doesn't understand, because he came from heaven, took off his armor, was born of a woman, lived on this earth, experienced what we experienced, and he didn't have the armor on. Hey, let me tell you something. When they crucified him, it hurt. And that was God experiencing for man. So when man needed God, man could say, you do understand. I wrote a statement down this morning. It's all the way at the end of my sermon, but I have to get to it. I'm going to give you this statement from the end. I'll come back to it later, but I wrote this down. Hey, folks, let me tell you, God was capable of feeling all that he experienced through Christ without removing his armor. But he took the armor off so you would have confidence in him understanding you. In other words, God could have been what God needed to be without going through what he went through by sending Jesus down here without any armor on. But God said, I think it's going to be best for you that I send Jesus without the armor. You're more apt to trust me and believe that I understand you. Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus, the God-man, truly understands and cares. Have you ever heard the old saying, don't criticize a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes? I think God believes that statement. I think God said, I am not going to get on the human race until I become human. And God was the God-man, and he walked a mile in our shoes. So he then, not to criticize, but when he made himself available to us and that he was touched by the feeling of our infirmities, he meant it. It was not just a big God service he was providing. He could empathize. He could get down to where you are and understand it. Now, the sermon gets less complicated and simpler as we go along. Stay with me for a few minutes here. First of all, he hungered. Matthew 4:2, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a-hungered. That's Jesus. You know, Jesus got hungry. Jesus had taste buds. Jesus' stomach growled. I hate it when that happens. It usually happens to me at the worst time. You know, everything's quiet, somebody's near me, my stomach growls, and I'm thinking, oh, shut up. And then I start, you know, you do what I do. I start swallowing spit or something, and calm down, I'm giving you something here. You know, take this spit. Grab a shirt, throw it in there. Calm this thing down. I just really don't want this to turn into an uproar. But Jesus hungered. Now see, folks, if you were ever hungry, and then you read the verse in the Bible where God said, hey, I'm touched by what you go through, you look up to God and say, how could you be touched? You're the God of, you're the owner of everything. And that's one reason God took his armor off and sent Jesus down here, because when somebody's hungry, the great God of the universe can say, I understand. I understand. He hungered. And folks, you and I, we live in America. But I will guarantee you there are countries in this world where right now a mother is watching her child die from starvation. You know, if the missionary can get to that mother and the missionary can say, God understands, God may make a difference in that life, because God, it's not God is so untouchable that God has no idea what it means to be hungry. No, he took his armor off, he sent Jesus down, and the scripture says that Jesus Christ felt the pain of hunger. I love it. Can you picture him setting the armor aside? I picture God saying to Jesus, now listen, the human race is going to die and go to hell, and you've got to go down there. Jesus, clad in the armor of the warrior of the Son of God, been running the universe with his dad. And Jesus said, I'll go. And God said, well, son, if you go, you got to take the armor off. And Jesus said, I'll take the armor off. I'll go down. And son, I'm going to put you through a lot. Okay, dad. But if that's what they need. And Jesus said, I'll go. And he hungered. I know it might not mean much to you, but to me, he thirsted. He thirsted. It says in John 4:7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. He was thirsty. You remember the cry from the cross where Jesus said, I thirst. What was that? The armor was off. That was God lowering himself to the pain of man. So when man needed God, man would believe God when God said, I love you. I care about you. Ah, how could a pie in the sky God care about me? You don't even know. Yes, he does know. Through Jesus Christ, our God was hungry. And through Jesus Christ, the God-man, our God was thirsty. There are people in this world that don't have clean water. There are people that will die today from dehydration and no water. And you don't have to, it's not just in the absence of clean water. There are people in the hospital. Sarah could tell you today, you go into the hospital, they'll right away start checking to see if you're hydrated. You can die from not having the fluids you need in a clean society. Jesus is touched by the feeling of thirst. Now, hunger, thirst. I think he's saying he understands the hurt of not having the basic elements of life. You ever get out there and get super active and you don't have water around, and before long y'all call it cotton mouth. Is that I'm not going to gross you out or anything. Get cotton mouth and boy, you're thirsty. Jesus understood that. God understood it. But not only that, he became hungry. Took the armor off. He became thirsty, took the armor off. He became weary, the Bible says. In John 4:6 it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Listen, there are some moms in here. I believe this. There are moms in here. You're wore out. You're tired. The challenge of taking care of the kids and raising the kids. You're busy. You're busy at home. You're busy at work. You're busy with the kids. And there are moms in here that would say, Pastor, I am just wore out. Let me tell you something, Mom. God understands your weariness. He's not this God that has all energy and all power and never experienced it. He took the armor off, sent Jesus down, and the Bible teaches that Jesus became weary so that when a mama would cry out to God on Tuesday afternoon at 3:00, where a mama's got tears in her eyes saying, I just don't know if I can do this. I am so tired. God looks down and says, I got you. I understand. There are weary husbands. We've got a lot of good men in our church, hard-working men. There are men in here, you're tired, you've worked hard. You put a lot of energy into life. You're a good person. You're weary. God understands that. Some of you lead at work. And boy, it can be a challenge leading the human race. You say, why? Because they're predominantly knuckleheads. That's why. Thank you. There are bosses that are weary, but God understands that. There are employees that are weary, but God understands that. There are followers and leaders that are weary. Hey, there are young people that are weary. And parents, please understand something. You say, well, my child, they're weary, but look, they're just a child. If they had to carry what I have to carry, they'd really understand weariness. But you have to understand, at their age, they are carrying a load. When you were their age, they were wearied by the load carried at that age. And so weariness is weariness. But I will say to everybody, Jesus is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. The word touch there means the armor was set aside so that the God of the universe could suffer so he could understand your suffering. The Bible tells us that he hungered. The Bible tells us that he thirsted. The Bible tells us that he became weary. The Bible tells us that he slept. In Matthew 8:24, it says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. Jesus understands the subject of sleep. Now, as God, he never slumbers. The Bible says God never slumbers nor sleeps, which means God is a watchman watching out for man, and he's always awake. But you and I, we could say, well, look, God, you don't know what it's like to be so tired and to need rest and have issues with the sleep. God said, you know, I'm awake all the time, but I'll take the armor off. I will send my son Jesus. Jesus will experience that feeling, he'll experience the need of sleep because he'll be in a human body. So God does understand through Jesus Christ. Parents, when you're up all night, maybe with the children, and I haven't forgotten, when you've got a child that's teething, it can just be terrible. It can just be terrible. When you've got a child that's got a flu, or a child that's congested, what a weak feeling as a parent when a child is congested and they can't breathe. And as a mom, you want to fix it, but there's nothing you can do. You hear them gasping for breath. You're up all night. You get up the next morning and you got to go again, and you're tired and you're weary. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe the burdens of life have caught up with you. There are people in here that suffer with insomnia, and for some reason your body produces some chemicals and you have a hard time sleeping. You might not realize, but God understands it. Jesus slept. He understands the concept of sleep. I think he would have stayed awake during church though. Some of you get your best sleep in here. You heard about the pastor, and some guy was falling asleep back in the service, and the pastor said, "Wake up!" And the guy didn't wake up, and the pastor went around the block a couple times, came back around, and he said, "Wake up!" And the guy didn't wake up, and finally, pastor said to the lady sitting beside him, said, "Ma'am, would you wake that guy up?" And the lady said, "Pastor, you put him to sleep, you wake him up." Listen, there are things that keep our bodies from resting, but I'll tell you this. Jesus said, "I am touched by the feeling of your infirmities." And God said, "I'm taking the armor off." The God that does not need sleep required in the birth of His Son a mechanism where sleep would be necessary. And you say, why? Because God loved you. And when you were not sleeping well, God wanted to be able to look down from heaven and say, "I understand that. I care that you don't sleep well. I care that your tummy's growling. I care that you're thirsty. I care about that. I care that you became weary." But not only that, He loved. Jesus loved in a human body. He got to experience and go through what love can do to us. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him," speaking of the rich young ruler. In John 11, 36, it says, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him," speaking of Lazarus. Jesus is touched by our desire for love, and he understands it. Jesus understands the hurts that love bring. You remember that Judas betrayed Jesus. You might say, "I've been betrayed. Someone that was supposed to love me didn't love me like they were supposed to, and I've been betrayed, and my heart is broken. I'm scared, and I'm lonely." But God is love. How could God ever understand what I'm feeling as a lonely, lowly human being? And God said, "I took the armor off, and I sent my Son down," and He knows what it's like to be betrayed and to feel the betrayal and the pain of it. And He knows what it's like to not have the love that He needs. And He knows what it's like to have a passion to be loved a certain way and for that love to not be made available. So whoever you are in this room, you say, "I don't know if God understands what's going on in my life and the whole issue of love. I don't have that element of love that I need." God understands. By the way, God understands that better than any human could ever understand it, because we're to love Him. Nobody loves God like God loves people. So our love always falls short. But in this case, Jesus Christ, He had gone through it physically. He faced it. What was it? God took His armor off. The Bible teaches that He had compassion. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted." They fell away. They struggled. And the Bible talks about even there that they didn't have a leader, and that's why the people were fainting or falling away. In Matthew 23:37, it says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wing." Jesus had compassion on people who were forced to even reap what they had sown. See, you say, "Brother Owens, I don't know, how could God have compassion on me when He doesn't understand me?" He does understand you. He does understand you. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was tempted in all ways like we were. He never sinned. And the word tempt, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to the temptation. The word temptation there anyway, it means He was tested. In other words, the things that you and I face came upon Him. Now, when there was a seduction by Satan, Jesus always won and said, no, he's going to do right. But even the pains of life he experienced. Why? Because God loved us. Compassion is the result of thinking of someone else's pain and then caring and expressing care as a result of it. God allowed the pain of life to bore through the protective cover of Jesus Christ so Jesus could feel the pain of others and then have compassion on them. He wanted to know how it felt from our point of view. That's why the God-man was sent. You all do realize God could have said, I care about you. He could have cared from his distance and it been totally, thoroughly, 100% holy care. And he never had to come down here through his son and suffer these experiences. And he would have been right. But I think he said, I'd have been right, but they would have wondered if I truly understood. He said, so I'm going to put myself out there. I'm setting the armor aside. I'm going down in the form of a man, and I'm going to go through it with y'all. Because when you wonder if I care, I'm going to remind you, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was weary, I was hurt, I loved, I was betrayed, I had to learn compassion, or I experienced compassion. Let me give you a couple more and I'll be done. He manifested trust. Jesus had to, you do realize that Jesus lived in this life, and you remember Judas forsook him? He got burnt, didn't he? Now, did God have to put himself through that? Y'all know what it's like to get burnt by a friend? Someone that's supposed to love you, betrays you, and hurts you? And right now you're saying, the pain that I'm suffering, does anybody understand? God does. And if you've been thinking that God doesn't really understand because he's up there with that armor on, he doesn't understand, no, you missed it. He understands. He went through it. The Bible says in John 11:33 that he groaned. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. That groan is this. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Have you ever been hurt bad enough where you just moan? I'm going to talk about physically now. I'm talking about your heart has been broken where you just, oh, how do you word it? Jesus was so hurt, he just, if you've ever felt that, God said, I'm going to feel that with you. I'm taking the armor off, I'm coming down. I want to feel pain to the depth of the valley of the soul of a man so that when that man one day needs me, he can look up and say, do I have a God up there that understands? And God will say, I groaned. I groaned with you. I groaned through Jesus Christ. I'm thirsty. God said, I know. I know what that feels like. I'm hungry. Yes, I understand. I'm lonely. Yes, I understand. I've been betrayed. Yes, I understand. And I groan with you. Oh, what a God. What a God. The Bible says that he wept, John 11:35. The Bible says that he prayed in Matthew 14:23. My outline is far longer than your patience would allow for me to present this morning because I studied every attribute of the humanity of the Son of God and I realized he was the God-man. God said, I'm taking the armor off. I'm coming down. I'm going to go through it with you. And one day you're going to need me and I'm going to stand by your side. Not only the great God of the universe that nobody that can conquer, but the God that took the armor off that stood by his children to make sure they trusted and knew, I really care. I care enough to go through some of it with you. Or, if for no other reason, for you. He understood death. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. God died for us through Jesus Christ so that when we die or when someone we love dies, God says, been there. How could God? I'm just overwhelmed right now. The thought that God would do that. And he could have done it without all of that. Look, God's holy. If God said, I care, I understand, that should have been the end of it. But he knew the frailty of man, and he said, well, if I do that, they'll all be down there wondering, yeah, sure, you live up there, we're down here, you have armor on, we don't, you don't understand. And in his purity, he would have understood, but he said, I'm not only going to have what I say I have, I'm going to show it to them. I'll show it to them. I don't know what you're going through. And as a pastor, if I can help you, I will. I will help you. I'll pray for you. I'll be your friend, and I'll help guide you through it. But I'm a limited individual. And I won't always understand everything. But I present to you the champion of the universe. You say, can he be defeated? By no one. Then how can he understand? He's got both good things going for him. He was the God-man. He understands to the depth of your pain what you're going through with the power of all eternity backing him. The God-man. We're talking about the divine Son of God. It's really, to some, can make it a very confusing doctrine. I don't think it's so confusing. I just think it's revealing and powerful. I'll read a verse, I'll be done. Then I may read another verse and be done again. In Hebrews 4 it said, for we have not an high priest, that's Jesus, our God, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word touched means he set aside the protective armor so he could feel pain, so he could associate with ours. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, the question is this. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? If you've never been saved, what a great God. He loves you. He wants to take you to heaven someday when you die. So answer this question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? And heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, but you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. I need to be born again. All right? Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. The God that you described is my God. He saved me. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it by way of testimony? God bless you. You may put your hands down. I don't know the case. I don't know what brought you here today. You're a guest. You're one of my church members. I don't know what all's happened in your life this week, this month, this year. But I hope today you got some strength to know that the God you serve understands. He is not unreachable. He's been there. Who here today would say, Pastor, there's no doubt what you said today. God has used it in my heart already. I needed this. God gave me something I needed. Would you raise your hand and let God see? Say, God gave me something I needed this morning. God bless you. You may put your hands down. We're going to have a moment of altar call. How that's going to work is in a second. We'll signal, the pianist will begin to play. After he begins to play, we'll stand. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But there are Christians in here. You need this altar this morning. God spoke into your heart. You've needed some strength. You needed somebody who understood it all that you could actually confide in. That's your God. If you need this altar, you come down here and just maybe take a moment and get on your knees and say, God, help me. I see it, God. Help me. I need your strength. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for doing that for me. Don't be afraid to use this altar. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you need to come and get on your knees for a second. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you've been through for me. Thank you for going through the pain that you went through for me. There's some of you just need to come up here and say, get on your knees and pray and say, God, give me strength. I see that the strength is available. I see that you understand me, but God, get me through this. Help me to make it. You say, oh, I've been through some things. Your God has been through it. Arrested unjustly, criticized, stripped, mocked, beaten, mistrusted, betrayed. Everything but sin. He was a perfect, sinless Lamb of God. John said, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. John 1:29. But God, through Jesus Christ, made himself human so we could have a God that understood us. Took off his armor. I said to my boxing coach, sure, tell me how it's done. Tell me what it feels like. You got your mouthpiece in, you got your head guard in. You're guarding your kidneys, you're guarding your groin area, you're all padded up. And he took the pads off, and I thought, he understands now. If you ever feel like nobody understands, there are people that understand, and I believe there are human beings that will understand. But in the case that that seems out of reach for you, your God is within reach for you. He took his armor off. Touched. The word touched means punched through the armor to get to the heart of things, where the pain was felt. What a God. Oh, what a Savior. You need the altar, you come. There are those that are yet here and decisions being made.